BBC Natural World. A pale sun shines down into a valley where fingers of mist envelop tall trees, a waterfall, then moss-covered rocks in the forest.
Wolves, once hunted to near extinction, now roam the forests. Birds, once scarce, fly high in the sky.
A large bird of prey soars through the sky and over to its nest.
Hidden secrets can be discovered in the ocean depths. Even bears can be found, high up in the mountain ranges.
A bear in long grasses. Now, a river meandering through a valley.
This is a country of extreme landscapes and dramatic backdrops.
A wide river in a forest, sheer tree-covered cliffs, then an otter.
There's a whole array of diverse, unusual and stunning wildlife.
A hovering dragonfly.
In an ancient wilderness that is being rediscovered. This is one of our closest neighbors, France. We may be familiar with its fine wine, haute cuisine, and rural beauty. But there is another side of this land that may surprise. This is the wild side of France.
France, the wild side, narrated by Paul McGann.
France is more than twice the size of the UK, but with a similar population, it has far greater expanses of wilderness.
A range of mountains.
Parts of this wilderness are being returned to how they once were, with the reintroduction of some iconic species. This film will give an impression of France's wild side.
Time-lapse film of the sun moving across a village nestling in a valley.
Once, many years ago, brown bears would have existed across the whole of France.
A bird's eye view of a bear ambling down a grassy slope.
Just imagine the sight of this magnificent creature roaming across the land.
Now, a bear in the forest.
They were once a hunter's prized trophy. And by the 1930s, these fearsome bears had all but gone from the French forests. But in recent years, a small number of brown bears have been reintroduced to the Pyrenees in the south of France. Bears need a seasonal abundance of high-energy foods. They will eat insects, berries, plants and fish.
A bear traps a fish with its paw, then devours it. Now he stops by a fruit bush in the forest and starts to nibble at the red berries. He wanders off between the trees.
Naturalists would like to reintroduce more of these top predators. They believe it would bring a more natural balance back to the French countryside.
The bear ambles on. A blackbird takes to the wing from a treetop.
Across the whole of France, there is a great variety of wildlife, some of which may surprise.
A basic map of Europe.
We journey from the Pyrenees to the far east of France, to a famous mountain range, the Alps. While known for its ski resorts and stunning scenery, there is also plenty of space for wildlife. This is Écrin National Park. Its high mountain summits form a dramatic skyline full of snowy glaciers. From the top of these, water floods down, forming icy, fast-flowing rivers. Within the lower torrents is a small bird with unique abilities. The dipper feeds on insect larvae that live in the riverbeds. Despite the freezing temperatures, it dives deep into the glacial water.
In slow motion, it plunges into the clear water.
Using its wings to swim, it can reach depths of 2 meters and remain there for up to 15 seconds. It will do this several times a day in order to feed its young.
A chick perches on a mossy bank, beak wide open and wings outstretched until its parent arrives to give it food. The dipper darts back into the water, leaving its chick begging for more.
Moving up to the high-altitude pastures of these mountains, there is an animal that lives below ground in a deep system of underground burrows. These are alpine marmots. They come up to the surface to play, mate, and to feed. They're social creatures and live in small family groups.
A marmot stands on its hind legs.
Alpine marmots used to be widely hunted, due to the belief that their fat would ease rheumatism when rubbed on the skin. In some areas of France, they've been successfully introduced and are a common sight.
Two stand on their hind legs, their faces touching, front paws pushing at each other.
Marmots are highly defensive animals and have developed a kind of collective surveillance system. Sentinels take turns to guard their territory. With a range of different calls, they can warn others of any potential danger. A short single whistle sees everyone take cover. And there's good reason. The legendary Golden Eagle.
One takes to the air.
The eagle's eyesight is far superior to ours. The marmot's warning system has to be good, as it is indeed a fearsome predator.
A marmot scurries under a rock as the eagle soars overhead.
Eagles have existed here for hundreds of thousands of years, far longer than any human settlers. They have built their homes in the highest parts of the mountains.
A nest set on a rocky ledge in a cliff face. In slow motion, an eagle flies off from the nest, leaving its chick behind.
To protect their nests, they can be fiercely territorial. If another eagle gets too close, they will fight, sometimes to the death.
Two eagles circle each other, high up in the sky, clashing briefly.
The eagle rules the skies, but they're not alone at the summit.
A pinnacle of craggy rock.
Amazingly, these chamois thrive on a vertical existence.
The goat-like creatures balance precariously on a seemingly vertical cliff face.
And there are other animals that have managed to carve out a life in such seemingly inaccessible cliff tops. Further south, in the peaks of the Verdon Canyon, a small creature can be found that seems to almost defy the laws of gravity.
Grey, craggy cliffs topped with a carpet of green.
The wall creeper, known locally as the butterfly bird. Arnaud Petit and Stephanie Baudet share a passion with this small bird for terrifying heights.
They're climbing up the cliff face.
They're leading European climbers.
Stephanie pulls herself up the cliff, finding another foothold and bringing her other foot up to the same level with great agility. She rests for a moment by a clump of evergreen foliage.
They brave the sheer and frightening cliff faces to catch a glimpse of these delicate birds. The butterfly bird has large feet with solid curved claws, which enable it to stand with perfect balance.
The bird is grey with a black tail and a flash of vibrant red on its wings. Arno blows the chalk from his fingers, then finds another handhold, moulding his fingers into the rock and pulling himself upwards.
It gets its name because of the way it scales the cliffs, by fluttering its colourful wings. Its wide wings enable it to take advantage of the rising currents and effortlessly reach great heights.
Stephanie gently places her fingers in another crevice and inches her way a little further up the cliff. Arno is a fair way below her.
More effort is required by the climbers, and occasionally their balance is not quite as perfect.
Stephanie slips, but the rope catches her. In slow motion, she swings down the cliff face. The sun is setting.
Arno and Stephanie share the nesting choice of the butterfly bird. They pitch their porter ledge into the side of the cliff, high above the huge emptiness below.
A wall creeper peers out from its hole as Stephanie and Arno get into their sleeping bags and kiss each other.
Sleeping at such a great height is like being suspended momentarily out of time.
An eagle soars high above. The two climbers sit on their suspended ledge, sipping at drinks as they survey the magnificent valley before them.
Far below the mountaintops, it's the depths of the forest that can be a frightening place for some.
The sun disappears behind thick black clouds, turning trees and mountains into silhouettes. Flashes of lightning spark across a carpet of cloud. More jagged flashes momentarily illuminate the outlines of dark trees. A small furry head pokes out from under a tree root. The tiny cub pulls back into its hole. In slow motion, rain cascades down into the forest.
It's early spring, and these two wolf cubs are just 3 weeks old. It's the first time they've ventured out of their dark den to see their surroundings. They'll need to learn who is friend and who is foe in their forest home.
A waterfall gushing over rocks.
As daylight comes, there is a whole new world above their den to explore.
A woodpecker feeds its chick in a hole in a tree, and two wolf cubs peer out of their den.
Their mother returns to check on them.
She pads through the trees towards the den. The cubs sniff the air as she approaches.
The pups are cared for by all members of the pack, but the mother is the dominant figure.
The two pups retreat back into their den.
Wolves were hunted almost to extinction in France in the 1930s. Now, as a protected species, their numbers are growing.
The mother wolf stands in the shade of the trees.
By winter, the small cubs will be almost fully grown and ready to travel with the pack.
In slow motion, a wolf moves off into the trees, leaving a cub standing beside another adult wolf. From clouds lying low over the mountains to the map of France.
Heading further north and past the Alps, there is another mountain chain which borders Germany, the Vosges Mountains.
A bird's eye view of an undulating carpet of green mountains far below.
Across these, geese can be seen in the autumn, as they make their way to southern climes to spend the winter.
The geese fly in a diagonal formation.
For thousands of years, the adults have been guiding their young along these airborne routes, Geese have a remarkable homing instinct, allowing them to return to the same area year after year, even when their migration takes them halfway around the world. The youngsters in the family group follow their parents, taking advantage of the current, and flying as if part of a platoon.
The birds alternate between flapping vigorously and coasting on the air currents.
The young will stay with their parents until the next breeding season. They have an innate knowledge of the direction and distance they should travel, but not necessarily where they should be aiming for. So following their parents for their first migration means they will reach their winter breeding ground.
A goose shakes its head briefly as it flies. Far below it lies a small town bordering a patchwork of green fields.
Adult geese will use visual references, including rivers and mountains, to guide themselves.
The geese fly on in formation, the sky perfectly blue above them. Below, a little later, the still surface of a lake reflects clouds in the sky. The geese glide low over the water. One suddenly turns, veering in a downwards direction. Then in slow motion, the geese lower their feet for landing. As their feet touch the water, white spray froths up around them until they come to a halt.
They stop at night to rest in marshlands, by rivers or by lakes.
The sun sets over the horizon, turning the land black and making the lake glisten like silver. Morning, and a heavy mist lies over the lake.
Come dawn, they'll have to wait for the fog to lift before taking to the air again.
Later, the mist has cleared.
When the sun's rays are strong enough to create rising winds, they will set off, knowing that they can now be carried along.
They take off, running across the surface of the water and flapping their wings furiously to achieve liftoff. Before long, they're flying high above the forest again, back in their formation. The landscape below stretches out in a gently undulating carpet of green. The geese fly onwards towards a brilliant white sun behind a mountain.
En route to their winter home, geese can cover up to 300 kilometers in just one day. By next year, the youngsters will be able to take this journey alone.
Once again in formation, the birds fly past the sun, which turns them into silhouettes.
We travel now across the country to the north of France, to a very special place not far from Paris.
A bird's eye view of a forest-covered landscape.
Here lies one of the largest forests in the country. Covering more than 50,000 acres, this is the Forest of Fontainebleau. This legendary and ancient forest has been the playground of kings for centuries. There is a proud history of deer hunting in France. Generations have driven hounds through this forest. Their dogs have scoured the thick undergrowth and rocky outcrops hundreds of times, hoping to catch a scent of prey.
In slow motion, the hounds bound through the forest, briefly forming two streams as they navigate around a clump of rocks. The streams merge as a single pack again, running onwards through the undergrowth. They bound effortlessly over heather-covered terrain. Now, a bird's eye view of vibrant green trees.
the forest of Fontainebleau, full of oaks, pine and beech trees, is home to a huge variety of animals.
A river cuts through the forest, its waters appearing dark in the shadow of the trees.
One of those is the red deer. These two 10-pointer stags are 7 years old and have been together all their lives. It's not uncommon for stags to form partnerships, but these particular two have become almost inseparable.
One climbs out of the water and sniffs the air.
They work as allies, warning each other of danger and sharing food, such as tender ivy or willow leaves.
The other deer is still in the river, on its hind legs, reaching up for leaves.
In the hot weather, they will linger in water to keep cool and get rid of annoying midges. It's rare for these two males to be out of each other's sight.
One of them trots through the forest for a while, then comes to a stop, glancing behind it for its companion. The other deer trots towards it through the trees.
They know their territory very well and have a network of trails to follow.
Padding across a clearing of golden grasses.
This comes in useful should they need to escape from hunting dogs. There are hundreds of red deer in Fontainebleau. They have no natural predators, so are fair game for hunters.
The magnificent Palace of Fontainebleau in the distance. As one of the deer is nibbling at leaves, a noise makes it look up. Now its companion is also on high alert.
When they sense danger, they will flee as quickly as possible.
They move off through the forest, their trotting quickly speeding up to a gallop. They pause for a moment, then decide on a path and head off down it, leaping and bounding over the tangled foliage underfoot. As they pass through the dappled shade of the trees, pockets of sunlight cause their brown coats to gleam momentarily. They gallop onwards, mostly hidden by the thick foliage around them. The two stags head for the river, splashing into the water.
Their long legs give them an advantage as they plunge into the river water and out of sight.
They stalk in amongst the long reeds, keeping close together. Then they stop.
The water also helps to dilute their scent, which dogs can trace for hours.
One keeps its head turned at an angle, listening intently. Now they move off again through the water. One pauses for a moment to listen again. The water now just reaches the tops of their legs, and one deer gives itself a good shake. The two bound out of the river and into the dense forest again. Now they're lying in the grass amongst the trees.
These two stags will spend the winter, spring and summer together. But when autumn arrives, it's a different story. Their antlers have lost their velvet texture. Their coats have grown and darkened. They're now full of testosterone and can think only of one thing, the female deer, or hinds.
A herd of females stand together on a grassy slope, as one of the males approaches, lifting his head to bray.
They mingle with the hinds to get their scent. In turn, their calls excite the females and help to stimulate their ovulation.
The stags trot amongst the females. Now, they gallop off into the long grasses.
From this moment, there will be no more sharing between the males. There can only be one winner. This is a battle without compromise. It will only end when one of the males backs down and surrenders.
The two stags have locked horns. With their heads low to the ground, they push and shove at each other. One manages to propel the other backwards into the river. They both enter the river and continue their battle, water splashing up around them as each tries to gain purchase over the other.
The hinds can only watch and wait.
The two males pull apart, still ankle deep in the river.
Finally, the cry of victory. The females gather around their triumphant hero.
He stalks slowly amongst them. The loser wanders off, turning to look back.
The champion will stay with his harem for about a month, fighting off any male who tries to enter his territory.
The other stag is lying at the foot of a tree.
But then, when the mating season is over, all will change once again. Battles will be forgotten, and the two stags of Fontainebleau will once again become close allies. Our journey now takes us to the west of France. Near the Atlantic Sea is the region of Poitou-Charentes.
Boats dotted along a silvery stretch of river.
It's home to one of the largest wetlands in France, known as the Poitevin Marshes. Here, seawater meets freshwater. In this unusual habitat, the wildlife flourishes. And in the spring, it is teeming with new life.
A bird dives into the water like a dart, and a flock of ducklings paddle towards some reeds.
There's one creature here who has to undergo an incredible transformation.
Nighttime, and something is hatching from a pupa on the surface of the water. It climbs up a stem.
The dragonfly. This small larva has spent more than a year under the water. Tonight, it will undergo an amazing metamorphosis.
By the pale light of a full moon, the transformation begins.
It appears to almost inflate its new body, so that it can break out of its old skin.
The green, alien-looking creature pulsates as it grows. Finally, it pushes itself partly free of its dark case with slender, transparent legs, ending up hanging almost upside down.
Its new feet emerge, but the dragonfly can't use them yet, as they're still too soft. It must wait for them to harden. In this position, it's vulnerable. Falling now would be certain death.
A snake sniffs the air with its tongue in the water below as the dragonfly hangs suspended from its old casing.
Not far from the dragonfly's precarious perch, another new birth is about to happen. These are greater horseshoe bats, a protected species across Europe. The bats will often roost in old disused buildings in the late spring and summer, going out after sunset to hunt and feed. This is a maternity roost, and it's time for the new babies to be born.
Hundreds of bats hanging from rafters. One opens her wings fully for a moment. A group of bats are clustering together under a nearby rafter.
For this female, the contractions have begun.
With her wings wrapped around herself, she begins to shake violently.
The head appears first. The mother begins by cleaning her newborn. She licks it and frees its ears, which were stuck to its head. Once the baby is free, it begins to suckle and will do so for the first month of its life. The mother wraps her wings around her precious bundle, protecting it from any danger.
In slow motion, a bat flies through a pitch-black sky. A full silvery moon hangs in the sky, and stars appear as tiny pinpricks of light.
Back on the moonlit water, the dragonfly's feet are at last hard enough. Finally, it can leave its former body.
It pushes itself fully free.
Now the miracle can happen. Its soft and intricate wings unfurl gradually.
In speeded-up film, the gossamer-like wings lengthen to maturity. A snake slithers through the water, creating ripples in the reflection of the moon. The dragonfly clings to a stem in the final stages of its metamorphosis. Suddenly, two pairs of wings dart outwards. The wings are transparent, their top edges rimmed with green.
Early morning has arrived, and the transformation is complete.
Tiny droplets of dew on the wings.
Four independent wings on a perfectly aerodynamic body.
The dragonfly shakes its wings vigorously, sending a spray of dew scattering all around it. Then, it lifts off on its inaugural flight.
The small larva that came out of the water last night has become one of the most sophisticated flying creatures in the world.
It soars over the river on delicate silvery wings.
Soon it will find a partner, and the cycle will begin again.
In slow motion, two dragonflies circle each other, their iridescent abdomens glinting as they catch the light.
The Poitevin Marshes is a fascinating area. It was once completely covered with wetland, full of insects.
The ruins of an abbey.
Around the 10th century, monks started the process of drying up the swamps. They built dams to stop the water rising and dug canals to evacuate rainwater and to free up the fertile soil. The land could then be used for agriculture. But some areas were left untouched.
Sunlight glinting through a canopy of trees.
Many species of birds come to nest here. Within this area is a dense hidden forest, which serves as a nursery for a colony of herons.
A bird's eye view of their nests, perched in the treetops. Then the herons, sitting amongst the leaves. Three chicks in one particular nest.
These fledglings are 3 weeks old and are constantly hungry.
As a parent lands by the nest, one of the chicks opens its beak wide to beg, and the mother feeds the fledglings.
One of the three youngsters stands back, while the other two devour everything their mother regurgitates. Usually both parents will help feed the offspring, But here the male has disappeared, so the mother has to work twice as hard to feed her young.
She takes off again.
She'll fly up to 30 kilometers hunting for food in the swamps, and competition can be fierce.
A heron plucks a fish from the water. It gulps it down whole.
Competition within the nest is also fierce. The two strongest chicks have united against the weakest and smallest. More frail and less active, he can only eat the leftovers. The problem is, there aren't any. A single parent cannot possibly feed all three. Instinctively, they attack their little brother in what is a struggle for survival.
He fights back weakly, but one of his siblings jabs at him with its sharp beak.
The weakest of the three will die, so that the other two can live. The laws of nature can often seem cruel.
The map of France.
Moving back down to the south of France, there is an area known as the Cévennes. A maze of mountains, deep valleys, and winding rivers.
A flock of birds flies in a V formation over a panorama of mountains below.
The river water descending from the granite mountains has carved out the distinctive contours of this stunning area. Over time, the water has dug out canyons hundreds of meters deep. In the cliffs of these spectacular canyons, there is an extraordinary animal, the griffon vulture. Until recent years, vultures had almost completely disappeared. Successful reintroduction programs have dramatically increased the number of these formidable birds. Vultures live in colonies, and they work together to scavenge for food. It's 6 in the morning, and the sun hasn't yet penetrated the depths of the canyons.
A huddle of vultures on a rock.
Without the warmth of the sun, the vultures do not fly. In spite of hunger, there's no question of moving yet.
One lies on a ledge.
At last, the air can carry them.
In slow motion, a vulture takes off from a rocky pinnacle. It glides on outstretched wings. Suddenly, a flock of vultures all take to the air. One glides majestically.
Like an air squadron, dozens of vultures fill the sky. The warm currents help them gain height. As part of their scavenging strategy, they divide up the territory. The large birds fly over several kilometers, scanning every inch of their land, but never losing sight of the other vultures. If one of them spots something, it immediately dives down. The other vultures haven't seen it, but they've noticed the absence of one of them. This means there's something to eat down below.
A vulture starts to descend, the wind ruffling its smoky feathers. As it comes into land, it pushes its taloned feet forwards, slowing itself down.
In a matter of seconds, the entire colony gather around for the feast. The work of one benefits all. Sharing is the price to pay for the colony's survival.
Two vultures share a branch.
Each bird can now return to its nest with a share of the spoils for its youngsters.
It flies back, past a backdrop of densely forested cliffs.
The return of these imposing birds across this region is widely celebrated.
A village nestling amongst the trees.
Vultures eat rotting carcasses, helping to prevent the spread of disease, cleansing the wilderness.
From the meandering valleys to the map of France.
To the north of the Cevennes mountain range is a region called the Lozère. With its high plateaus, it's famous for its dramatic scenery and numerous pretty villages.
A cluster of higgledy-piggledy houses, then flying over a castle tower with a bright flag fluttering atop it.
The source of many rivers can be found here, the most famous of which is the River Tarn.
A waterfall, a torrent of white water gushing over rocks into a pool below.
In the spring, the Tarn is at its most powerful, with exciting, fast-flowing torrents.
A canoeist maneuvers his boat towards some rapids.
Within this river is a creature which is beginning to make a comeback in France.
An otter propels itself through the water.
The otter. With its streamlined body, the otter is a skillful predator.
It plunges underwater again.
It has powerful webbed feet. And whiskers which help it detect the slightest movement of any underwater prey.
In slow motion, its head poking up through the frothy rapids. The otter climbs out onto dry rocks and scampers across them. Its fur is brown.
The otter's habitat stretches over 40 kilometers of river. Otters are a threatened species across Europe, but with the help of protection laws and water quality improvement, there is evidence that its numbers are gradually recovering.
The otter dives into the river.
As a hunter, the otter is fearsome. Everyone goes into hiding.
Fish dart away as it approaches.
If a fish sees an otter, it's already too late.
It snaps up a fish, then swims up to the surface.
In this river, the otter reigns supreme.
In speeded up film, clouds disperse in a valley.
The mountains of the Lozère are home to an insect which is unique to this area, a black bee. It's only thanks to intensive conservation efforts that the pure breed of this bee can still be found here.
One flutters by a flower.
This flower-loving insect is a workaholic. Its short life is dedicated to the good of the hive and the production of honey. Yves Elie is an expert beekeeper. He spent years helping to protect the bees of this region. He follows in a long-standing tradition of this area.
He's squeezing honey into muslin. Now Yves sips himself into his beekeeper's suit, puts on his netted hat, and picks up his smoke gun.
To house his bees, Yves builds them traditional trunk hives, which is similar to their natural habitat. In these chestnut tree trunks, thousands of workers live around their queen.
A cluster of busy bees.
They feed and groom each other. In the process, they pass on pheromones, chemical signals, which reveal information about the health of their queen and the state of the colony. Chemical signals also help with foraging. Honeybees use scent to locate flowers from a distance.
In slow motion, A bee flutters in the sky.
When a successful forager returns to the hive, it passes the scent of the flowers to its nest mates to help them find the same patch of flowers. Through a series of dances, it indicates the direction, distance, and even the quantity of pollen available.
It wiggles its abdomen as it dances.
To help conserve the black honeybee, Eve attempts to create a new swarm every year. It's a skillful operation. He coaxes the queen bee into entering the trap just above the hive.
Eve and his colleague are banging the hive with wooden sticks, trying to coax the queen upwards.
Almost immediately after she's left the hive, a new queen bee will take over.
They replace the lid on the original hive and carry the trap away. Silhouetted hills against a burnt umber sky as the sun begins to set.
To avoid inbreeding and preserve the species, Eve takes the old queen to a faraway site where there are no other species of bee.
He sets the trap down amidst a number of beehives. Bees gathered at the bottom of the hive.
During its life, a bee will have to fulfill several roles: cleaner, nursemaid, builder, before they are finally promoted to nectar gatherer.
Eve inspects one of the frames from a hive.
Then, after only 30 days, it will fall to the ground, struck down by exhaustion. During its short life, a bee can produce several grams of honey. Eve is hopeful that these colonies will continue to produce honey for many years to come. ...170 kilometers off the southeastern coast of France, in the Mediterranean Sea, lies the island of Corsica.
Flying over the island.
Two-thirds of this majestic island is made up of mountains, which form a single chain along its entire length.
The entire island, viewed from above.
Famous for its high red cliffs, sandy beaches and headlands. This is the Scandola Reserve.
Razor-like red cliffs jutting up from the sea and a round castle tower. Now steep-sided craggy cliffs leading down to a tranquil sea. Deep canyons between pointed cliffs. Then a seagull takes to the wing.
Scandola is one of the oldest reserves in France and a UNESCO World Heritage Site. As a protected site, it's home to some stunning and rare wildlife, including osprey.
In slow motion, an osprey lands on its nest where a chick is waiting. More steeply sloping and weather-worn red rocks.
The sea conceals another extraordinary landscape.
A speedboat bounces across the sea.
Jean-Marie Domenici is the curator of this site and has spent his life protecting the wildlife here.
His boat speeds off towards the cliffs. Now he's strapping on diving gear and putting on some goggles. He falls backwards off the boat into the water.
Teeming with life, the waters are home to a whole variety of fish. Some quite rare.
A large group of fish with a jutting mouth.
It's a diver's paradise.
A shoal of tiny fish swim above flowing seaweed.
As well as fish, the reserve is full of unusual plant life, seaweed and coral.
Fish swim through the drifting seaweed fronds. Jean-Marie swims amongst them.
Scandola Reserve is one of the Mediterranean's most important ecosystems. An extensive and extraordinary underwater prairie.
A shoal of silvery fish.
It's a favorite spot for many fish species to spawn their eggs. The eggs laid here are carried by the current outside the limits of the reserve and help nurture all the neighboring marine sites. There is one particular and strange-looking fish that fascinates Jean-Marie. The grouper. The grouper would normally live on the sea floor at depths of up to 300 meters. But here, in this protected area, it can be seen much closer to the surface. Jean-Marie is able to study it in close-up.
It has large, rubbery-looking lips and is almost half the size of Jean-Marie himself. Jean-Marie holds up a finger as the grouper swims off.
The grouper is a hermaphrodite. It's born as a female, but by the age of 16 it changes sex to become a male. Males and females come together in the early summer to reproduce.
Two groupers swim around each other.
As part of their courtship, the males change color as a means of seduction.
Jean-Marie swims amidst five or six groupers.
The grouper almost disappeared from the Mediterranean coasts. But now, thanks to reserves like Scandola, it once again thrives.
A delicate red sun setting on the horizon.
Close to the Scandola Reserve is a beach where fresh water joins the sea, the Fango Delta. In these natural ponds lives an animal that has existed for millions of years, the turtle. Although found in many different places, the European pond turtle is under threat from water pollution and habitat destruction, and its numbers have been declining. Here, though, it appears to be flourishing. As a cold-blooded reptile, it needs the sun's rays for energy. During the day, it will bask on the shore or on rocks. But this shy species will dive back into water if disturbed.
One climbs onto a piece of driftwood, then falls off back into the water.
Underwater, it will hunt for fish, insects, or mollusks.
It pokes its head up above the surface.
It's the mating season, and the courtship technique of the turtle is a curious one. The male approaches the female suddenly, pinning her in place as he bites her face and neck as they mate. If not careful, the technique can inflict serious injuries on the female.
More turtles huddle together on a rock.
It's a brutal affair, but necessary in order to continue the line.
A cicada climbs up a bare stem, shaking its abdomen.
Moving inland towards the center of Corsica, the terrain is full of dense, thorny bushes. To survive in this prickly environment, you need a very thick skin.
Shrubs quiver as something moves amongst them.
The king of this terrain is the wild boar.
It has dark hair and a long snout.
Most wild boars live in close-knit groups of around 20.
They graze on grass.
They mainly consist of females and their young. Females will normally have between 4 and 8 babies, and they are very protective of them.
A boar trotting over dry grasses. Now the whole herd running. One boar sees another off, then snuffles around amidst some ferns.
Boars are scavengers and eat almost anything they come across, including grass, nuts. roots, even small reptiles. Older males do not usually stay in the group. They lead a largely solitary life.
A solitary male picks its way through a forest. It ambles past a pile of rocks, sniffing the ground.
To keep cool, they will roll in mud. Covering their body in a thick layer also helps get rid of irritating ticks.
In slow motion, the boar rubs itself in a muddy pool. Then it rights itself, so it's resting in the pool. It gives itself a vigorous shake, then gets up and leaves.
During the mating season, large solitary males will travel across the countryside in search of female groups. They're capable of covering several kilometers of varied terrain every day.
The boar trots off. Now it's reached a river. It launches itself into the water and swims across the river with ease. Mountains rise up in the distance as the wild boar crosses the river, emerging at the other side.
This breeding strategy helps to maintain a strong population, not just here on the island of Corsica, but across the whole of France. The wild side of France is extensive and can be extraordinary.
Stags leaping out of a river and a goose flying.
There is rural beauty, where time seems to have stood still.
Speeded up film of mist in a valley near sunlit houses.
Alongside this is a rugged wilderness which can push nature to the limit.
An eagle soars.
Here, formidable birds soar above the mountains. Wolves have made their home in the forests. And even bears can be seen in their natural habitat. From coastline to mountaintop, France is a country of extreme and surprising beauty, with wildlife that never ceases to feed our imagination.
A wild boar swimming, geese flying in formation, and a dragonfly fluttering past.